You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You know, folks, sometimes when you're hosting live radio, you have to recalibrate on the fly. When I woke up this morning, it was just another standard format show with Keith Alexander joining me for the first hour and change, Eddie the Bombardier Miller coming in as the closer for the third hour. That's our typical format, maybe a guest in the middle talking about all the news that matters to you. Well, I get here to the studio tonight. Turns out that Keith's not able to make it. He's stuck in traffic on his way back from Mississippi. Eddie did call in. Well, Keith did too. Eddie called in and said that, asked, you know, if he could go out and finish his fundraising campaign because there's a big festival here in Memphis that he wants to hit up. You know, he's out there raising money for the kids of St. Jude. Obviously, two very excused absences. But, hey, they left the ship to the captain alone. So we call in the heavy hitter, Sam Bushman. Sam with me for the first hour. Sam's going to hop back on the radio with me in the third hour tonight. We're going to talk about what's going on in the presidential primaries and an assortment of other topics. This hour, though, just during the commercial break, I booked Richard Spencer to come on. So that, you know, that sometimes you have to do that. Richard's going to be on. We're going to talk about the European so-called refugee crisis later on this hour. But first, before we get to Richard, before we get to that topic, I want to give a quick shout-out to Todd here in Memphis. Todd, he donated earlier this month to receive that flag. He just donated again and made a donation for his neighbor and his friend. His name is also James. That's a great name. But he wanted one of Bill's flags, so Todd anteed it up, and he wanted me to mention that on the radio. I told him I would. Todd donates every quarter. Great guy. He said, let's get these flags in the hands of the people out there, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. Don't forget to support the Political Cesspool and our fundraising drive, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Donate tonight. Donate now. Everything helps. $25, $50, $100, a big donation for us. That gets you the flag. And, of course, you can donate more if you have it. 250, 500, how about a million? You know, that would be, wow. You know, but you know, listen, I mean, a couple hundred bucks is a ton of money to us. It helps keeps us going. And we thank everybody who's pitched in so far. A lot of people have from all over the world, and people doing so even while we're live on the air tonight. And we want you to be part of that winning team. Okay. Folks, this is something else. We got a clip of Hulk Hogan. We're going to play that, I think, at the top of the second segment because I want to spend a minute on this before we get to the refugee crisis and before we get to Richard. A few weeks ago, an old recording surfaced. It's amazing how they always find a way of doing that, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? But a recording surfaced that proved that Hulk Hogan once said the dreaded N-word. I mean, God forbid. I mean, I'm thankful, though, I say this when these stories come up. We live in a country that's just so great and has no bigger problems than to go on witch hunts for people who use the N-word. It's exclusively witch hunts directed at white people because blacks say it with impunity, and it's really their favorite word. But anyway, he said it, and it's the workplace equivalent of a capital offense for which there is no statute of limitations. Just ask Paula Deen. Now, we covered the Paula Deen incident. When was that? A year or two ago, whenever it happened, we covered that. You know, she did this groveling, sniveling apology. And, you know, the thing with Paula Deen, she was robbed at gunpoint by a black guy. And I think at some point, either immediately thereafter or at some point years and years ago, she said the N-word in discussing that incident where she got robbed at gunpoint, you know, by a guy. But anyway, you know, so she just was the victim of really what I call economic terrorism. So a white person says this word. Yeah, it's street talk. It's crude language, you know. I don't think it's a big deal, but, I mean, I don't say it. I mean, you know, why say crude language unless you have to, right? But, you know, it's certainly not a crime. You know, I'm not defending use of the word, but, I mean, aren't there more important issues than that? Well, Paula Deen did this groveling thing. It was disgusting. It was shameful. But let me tell you something. Hulk Hogan, he made his. Let me tell you what he did. He cried. He went on Good Morning America, and they asked him about using the N-word. He cried. He literally begged for forgiveness. We're going to let you hear the clip in a second. And he said that he was so distraught over his use of language or his choice of language that he literally considered committing suicide. Now, this is Hulk Hogan, the professional wrestler, the icon. He put wrestling on the map. He makes Paula Deen, who did this groveling apology, he makes her look like an absolute gangbanger by comparison, when you compare their apologies. As bad as hers was, his was 100 times worse. Now, naturally, after the media, you know, found out that he had used the N-word, he was immediately banned. Well, they're still never, right, I mean, they're still never going to forgive him. I mean, he won nothing. He gained no absolution for this pathetic, look, he's made, I mean, what, he's 70 years old. It's not, I mean, how much longer, I know wrestling's fake and everything, but how much longer can you even pretend to wrestle? He's, you know, in his 60s. He's a multi-millionaire. He's an icon. Who cares? Why apologize? It's not going to gain him anything. He's still not going to be allowed to wrestle anymore. But he immediately was banned. He was kicked out of the WWE Hall of Fame. And as far as the official record is concerned, the most iconic professional wrestler in history, the man who literally put the so-called sport on the map, he's never fought a single match. They completely vacated his record. He's the Babe Ruth of wrestling now. And I took note when this story originally broke a couple of months ago that he didn't immediately grovel and apologize for using the same word that pretty much every black NBA and NFL player say on a regular basis, including the president. Barack Obama said the N-word in an interview, what, earlier this summer? You know, who cares? To me, it's not a big deal. If you want to say it, I don't care. I mean, it's not offensive to me. You know, it's really not offensive to them. It's just something that they believe that they can shake people down and crucify them over. If they were really offended by it, they wouldn't use it. But as it turns out, Hulk Hogan was just building up this spectacle, which was oh man. But we got the video. We're going to play the clip at the top of the next segment. But we got the video on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Hulk Hogan crying, wiping his eyes like a little baby on Good Morning America, literally begging for forgiveness and admitting that he considered suicide because he at one time said the N-word. You got to see it to believe it. He said it because his daughter at the time was dating some a black guy. And it wasn't, you know, more than dating. And let me tell you something, it wasn't Ben Carson. It was a street rat, you know, it was some, you know, I guess rapper or something. But, you know, and any normal parent, any decent parent would object to that. I mean, wouldn't you agree? And I'm not talking about white on black. You know, any parent wants their cultural heritage to survive. You know, we're talking about thugs. You know, blacks want their line to be extended. You know, you're talking about, you know, I believe that this is God's natural order. Why did God go to the trouble, and it was really no trouble for him, but why did God make distinction between the races, you know, in his perfect creation, if he didn't want there, and to be different races? And really, I mean, we are the true advocates of diversity, saying we want to respect and represent all of the rainbow. But anyway, so Hogan was upset about that, just as Japanese parents would be, or Jewish parents, or whomever, and we're going to play the clip. If you can stand it. If you can stand it, when we come back, stay tuned.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, so Hulk Hogan, and this is by far the most utterly pathetic demonstration of the White Wimp Shuffle that I've ever seen. And, you know, again, we don't recommend the usage of crude street talk, but it's not a crime. It's hardly something for a grown man to cry about. And just to add a little more context to this before we play the clip, you know, he said a sex tape apparently had come out involving his daughter and this thug. And he said, you know, if you're going to date an N-word, at least make it a multimillionaire N-word, you know, so on and so forth. He was upset, understandably. And, you know, it's a free country. If that's your bag, you know, go for it. It's not for me. It's not something I want for my children. We should have the freedom to have preferences and make distinctions. And I'm not going to give that freedom up. Anyway, Hulk Hogan, oh, gosh, I've delayed and stalled all I can. Here it is.
With his signature leg drop, horseshoe mustache, and unrivaled strength, 12-time world champion Hulk Hogan single-handedly transformed wrestling into a global phenomenon.
Unbelievable!
Today, he's fighting to maintain his legacy.
Could we stop for a second?
Terry Bollea, the man behind the once indestructible Hulkster, letting his guard down.
Out of everything that I've been through, this one hit me probably the hardest.
Wiped from the WWE Hall of Fame last month after portions of his conversation during a secretly recorded private encounter were leaked by the National Enquirer. On it, Bollea caught using racial slurs.
I was at the lowest point of my life, to the point where I wanted to kill myself.
You were suicidal.
Yes, I was. And I was very mad at my daughter for really no reason. I was upset over a situation that happened between her and her boyfriend, and I had no idea I was being taped.
On the tape, he refers to his daughter's then-boyfriend using the N-word.
Are you a racist?
No, I'm not. I'm not a racist. I never should have said what I said. It was wrong. I'm embarrassed by it. But a lot of people need to realize that you inherit things from your environment. And where I grew up was South Tampa, and it was a really rough neighborhood, very low income. And all my friends, we greeted each other saying that word. The word was just thrown around like it was nothing.
Is it fair to say that you inherited a racial bias?
I would say that is very fair. The atmosphere, the environment I grew up in, all my white friends, all my black friends, to hear the word on a daily basis when they'd greet me in the morning. That's what they'd say to me. Good morning, so-and-so. I think that was part of the culture and the environment I grew up in.
For fans who feel let down by you, do you ask their forgiveness?
Oh my gosh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm a nice guy. It's not, you know, not the Hulk Hogan that rips the shirt off and bang, 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 slams giants. You know, I'm Terry Bollea. I'm just a normal man.
But the WWE, not taking the risk, fired him.
Everything I've done, my whole career, my whole life, was like it never happened.
Your image, your likeness, your name erased.
Yeah, like I'd never existed.
That had to hurt.
Oh my gosh, it was devastating.
Many industry bigwigs now coming to his defense and his daughter, Brooke.
Your daughter posted a beautiful poem on Facebook. If you knew the dad I knew, you'd know he raised me well. He taught me folks are so much more than shades could ever tell.
Yeah, and if anybody should have disowned me, it should have been her. You know, she should have been the one. She should have been the one to throw me out like the trash, but instead she showed me more love than anybody.
What did Brooke say to you?
Well, could we stop for a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay.
How has Brooke helped you through this?
She's been so supportive. She was the direction of my attack. You know, I was not so mad at her boyfriend. I was mad at her, you know. And she instantly said, I don't even need to forgive you because I'm not mad at you.
Now the man known for his superhuman strength is wrestling with turning this negative into a positive.
Just because a person makes a mistake, just don't throw them away. You don't throw good people away. If everybody at their lowest point was judged on one thing they said, and all of a sudden your whole career was wiped out today because of something you said 10 or 20 years ago, it'd be a sad world. People get better every day. People get better.
Hogan told me the day
all right,
he
let's
was
just, let's just stop it right there. I mean, that's the look, how embarrassing. We're not even going to break that down. You heard it. It made your skin crawl like it did mine. One of our commenters on the website really summed it up. He said, the skinny, whipcord, mustached bricklayers who worked on my father's college in Pasadena, California, had more manhood than this guy and were probably stronger and had more stamina, too. The scripture says the battle goeth not to the strong, nor the race to the swift. What the scripture is talking about here is appearances. Appearances are fluff, talking about Hogan here in that context. What is real comes out in the stress of life. And when a little bit of stress was applied to Hulk, we saw the kind of man that lives inside that muscular facade. Hey, everybody here on the political cesspool, 10 times more manly than this guy. I don't care how many steroids he's taken to look as big and as strong as he is. He is a very weak person. Let's talk a little bit more about the N-word very quickly. The NBA, Matt Barnes, he's a non-white NBA player. I know that's hard to imagine, but there are non-white NBA players. He was fined by the league last year, I guess it was, for using the N-word, and he instantly owned it. You know what he said? He said he was not going to apologize. This is what Matt Barnes said. The word I use is a word that's used on the court. He's talking about on the court while they're playing in front of all the fans there in public. It's used in the locker room, used amongst my friends and family. It's a word that I use regularly. Talking about the N-word. He said, you guys have to get used to it. It's a word that I guarantee you will be used on the court today. It's a word that I've already heard in the locker room tonight. It's not a big deal. Well, that's okay. So it's not a big deal, right? So, I mean, what the hell is this with Hulk Hogan? Charles Barkley further addressed the issue on TNT saying, this is what Charles Barkley said. It's okay for people to use the word, but not for white people to use it. He also said it was wrong for whites to suggest... He said it was wrong for whites to suggest that black people should stop using the word. So, you know, that level of hypocrisy is jaw-dropping to most of us. But the consistency in their outlook is that whites are always at fault no matter what they do. If white people say the N-word, they're bad. If they suggest that blacks shouldn't say it, they're bad. So whites are always at fault. And then in the NFL, it was so ubiquitous in the NFL. So many black players were using it in the NFL. that they were going to levy like a 10-yard penalty every time they heard the N-word. Well, that didn't go over too far, as you might imagine. You would think that a player screaming the N-word at an opponent during a nationally televised game would make for a big story, but there's a way to get away with such an event in today's NFL. All you have to do is be non-white. There was an $11,000 fine that was levied against the San Francisco 49er quarterback Colin Kaepernick last season, who used the word in a game, and it was broadcast. That fine was rescinded, and of course the whole thing about penalizing them for use of it didn't get off the ground either, because it wasn't just Kaepernick who's biracial. Lamar Houston with two R's. That's LMARR. They should have just added a third or a fourth R to make sure we saw it. But Lamar Houston was using the word too with Kaepernick. They got into a fight, and they called each other that. He's a Chicago Bears defender. Contrast that, though, with when a white player, Riley Cooper for the Philadelphia Eagles, used it at a concert, and he had to, pray to Michael Vick for forgiveness. He had to attend psychological reprogramming, wall-to-wall coverage followed about how horrible the situation was. There was no bigger story in all of sports than this white guy for the Eagles using it. And you fast-forward it to today, you hear NBA players say, hey, listen, it said every night on the court, every game. Blacks use it on the field, and it barely warrants a mention. And I wonder why that is. It's just another disgusting example of anti-white double standards and hypocrisy from the establishment in corporate America. We're going to shift gears. The European invasion. We're going to talk about the European invasion right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, so we're going to shift gears now. We're going to talk about the invasion of Europe by these so-called refugees. And no bigger culprit is there than Germany. What Angela Merkel is doing to Germany is far more devastating than anything Hitler did. I mean that. That's not hyperbole. I mean that. Germany lost the war, but they were able to rebuild. You will not rebuild. You will not survive demographic replacement and a birth rate below fertility level, below replacement fertility level. And that's what Germany's faced with. And they're bringing in the most invaders of any European country. That's absolutely sick. And you look what happened to that country in World War II, the devastating firebombs. You know, those were really terrorist acts that America did. I don't care. I'm an American. That was a terrorist act. But America, hey, they did it to Germany. They did it to their own people in the South. They've done it in every war since the war between the states. But anyway, Germany could survive that. They won't survive this. Jared Taylor breaks it down. We're going to play an extended clip here from Jared Taylor talking about the invasion of Europe, and then we're going to get Richard Spencer on the phone in the next segment. Let's go to Jared now.
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. The rush for the gates of Europe continues. Just a few months ago, the big news was people traveling from all over Africa to Libya and then crossing the Mediterranean into Italy. Thousands drowned, but thanks to European coast guards, over 300,000 have already made it this year. Now the big news is people coming to Greek islands just off the coast of Turkey. Here's a boatload arriving at the island of Lesbos. That's Turkey in the background. You can be sunning yourself on the beach and suddenly you have visitors. Smugglers charge $800 to $1,200 a head for this short hop. But it's worth it. Because once these third worlders have made it to any part of Greece, they're in what is called the Schengen zone. That's the part of Europe where there is no border control. Here's the zone in red. You can see Greece at the bottom right. It owns all the islands off the Turkish coast. So if anybody can make it to Turkey, then Europe is just a short boat ride away. And once they're in the Schengen zone, they can go to any of those red countries. The media keep calling these people migrants, but they're illegal immigrants. What they really are is invaders because they occupy, they take over. Now, these illegals don't want to stay in Greece because Greece is poor. They want to go to Germany or Sweden. But illegals on a Greek island have to get to the mainland first. Take Lesbos. You can see here how close it is to Turkey. This summer, there were 20,000 illegals packed onto the island trying to get to Athens. They complained that they weren't cared for properly and rioted. Afghans and Syrians fought each other because Syrians have a better chance at official refugee status, and the Afghans resented that. The Greeks eventually shipped them all to Athens. Here are a bunch of them waiting to board. As you can see, the Greeks chartered a pretty nice ship for them. But if we return to the map, you can see that from Greece, the illegals have to get across several non-Schengen countries and then through Hungary before they can make it to Austria and then Germany. Macedonia is the first stop after Greece. And at first, the Macedonians tried to stop this flood of illegals. But the illegals overwhelmed the police and broke through. The flood reached Hungary and washed up in a railway station in the capital, Budapest. And when that overflowed, they hung out on the tracks. The Hungarians wanted to process them in reception areas, but hundreds broke out and started walking the more than 100 miles to the Austrian border. For a while, this stopped traffic. The Hungarians finally gave up and sent most of them to Austria by train, which sent them on to Germany. Now, why do they want to go to Germany? Because the Germans say they are willing to take in 800,000 of them this year, four times as many as last year. Chancellor Angela Merkel has set aside $6.7 billion for housing, food, clothes, and pocket money for these 800,000. What we are experiencing now, she says, is something that will occupy and change our country in coming years. Occupy. Change. She got that right. Here are Germans welcoming the newcomers. Here are piles of supplies at the Frankfurt railway station. And here are the happy throngs, right off the train, chowing down at a reception center in Dortmund. And so the word is out. Now is the time to make a break for it. The flood will continue year after year until it is stopped. According to Osama Ahmed, a 27-year-old Iraqi, quote, "This is a golden opportunity, at least until the Europeans change their minds." Airlines have added three more packed flights every day from Baghdad to Turkey for all the people who are on their way to Greece. You see, everyone knows the best routes now because illegals carry smartphones and put up Google Maps with the latest hot tips. Here are illegals charging their phones during a stop in Hungary. So, does that mean the old route from Libya is closed? No. On a single day, August 27th, the Italian Coast Guard alone rescued more than 1,400 people. And last week, the Italians showed up just in time to rescue 100 illegals in a sinking boat. Another 40 drowned. Also last week, illegals from North Africa in an Italian reception center in the province of Belluno went on a food strike. They don't like bread, eggs, and pasta with tomato sauce. "We don't eat this stuff," they said. They want North African food. And they slashed the tires of cars belonging to Italians who work at the center, just to make sure they got the message. And remember the illegal camp in Calais called the Jungle, where people try to sneak onto trucks and get across to Britain? There are still 5,000 people living there, living on handouts. And they are still trying to get into Britain any way they possibly can. Fortunately, not everyone in Europe is insane. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban doesn't want any illegals. He says, and I quote, "If we allow everyone in, that is the end of Europe." Marine Le Pen of the National Front in France calls illegals, quote, "a threat to the survival of our identity as free and civilized nations." The Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Romania don't want illegals. Denmark bought newspaper ads in Middle Eastern countries telling people there they aren't welcome. But too many other Europeans can't say to outsiders, "Sorry, our ancestors built this country for us, not for you." Israel isn't letting any of them in. The rich Gulf oil states aren't letting them in. Japan and Korea aren't letting them in. Those countries have identities they care about. But Europe? Hasn't there been enough rape? Hasn't there been enough sex grooming? Haven't enough European streets been turned into mosques? Aren't there enough Sharia-controlled zones? Haven't there been enough New Year's Eve bonfires in the streets of Paris? Hasn't there been enough terrorism? Islam has been Europe's enemy for 1,000 years. Haven't we gotten the message? The people in this picture aren't in Damascus. They're in London. Europeans believe they are being so good, so generous, like these German girls at the Frankfurt railroad station. They don't understand they are giving away their culture, their heritage, their identity, their country. Kindness to strangers is cruelty to their own children and grandchildren. Europe will learn, or Europe will die.
All right, folks. Well, that's Jared Taylor. That's why he's a regular guest on this show. I mean, he said it all. And there's little I can add to that except to say certainly I echo it 100%. and was happy. You know, what a privilege to be able to host a show as widely listened to as this one, that we are able to get out the words of people like Jared Taylor like that. You know, to be able to play that tonight on broadcast radio, you know, that's what we're here to do. That's why we need your support, and that's why you support us. There's not much more I can add that Jared didn't already say, but there is something that we'll ask Richard Spencer to add in the next segment. You know, one of the people in Europe who is actively opposing the invasion is the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban. He says that Hungary will arrest these invaders and will send them back to wherever they came from, quote unquote. Well, that's interesting, and I appreciate that. Interestingly, though, Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, also put Richard Spencer in jail just about a year ago when he was attempting to have a conference in Budapest to address issues just like this one. We're going to get Richard's take on it right after this. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Get on the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
very excited to have my friend Richard Spencer back on the program tonight, even though we only have him for one segment, and he came on very graciously under extremely short notice. Richard Spencer is, of course, the president of the National Policy Institute and editor of Washington Summit Publishers and Radix Journal. He was formerly assistant editor at the American Conservative Magazine and executive editor of Talkies Magazine. Richard holds a BA with high distinction from the University of Virginia and an MA from the University of Chicago. He was a doctoral student at Duke University before dropping out to pursue a life of thought crime. Richard, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here, James. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's entirely our pleasure, as it always is. During the last segment, we really kind of broke down what's going on in Europe with regard to the, they call it a refugee migration. I can't really remember exactly what they call it. It's an invasion. We all know that. But what I found interesting, I was sitting at home today and watching the news and found that none other than Viktor Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, has really, at least rhetorically speaking, come out saying he's going to arrest these illegal migrants, quote unquote. He's going to send them back to the places that they came from. And considering that Mr. Orban put you up as a guest of the state when you last visited Hungary, I thought it was serendipitous to have you on tonight to discuss the what's going on in Europe vis-a-vis Viktor Orban and your experience there. You were there to really talk about issues like this. You get thrown in jail. I mean, break it down, Richard, and take all the time you need.
Sure. Well, actually, when I read news about Viktor Orban's bold statements and some of his bold actions, I was actually reminded of the vicious warlord and guerrilla and president of Liberia, Charles Taylor. And reportedly, there was a campaign slogan when he was running for office for president of Liberia that he killed my ma, he killed my pa, but I'll vote for him anyway, which I guess kind of refreshing honesty, you could say. Well, I could say about Viktor Orban that he put me in jail, he threw me out of his country, but I would vote for him anyway.
So he's touché.
Yeah, I mean, I even though I might have some personal animus against Viktor Orban, I think first off there was no reason for him to do what he did. The idea that our conference was an attempt to subvert Hungary or his regime is ridiculous. He basically bowed to left-wing pressure. And so there was no reason. He didn't gain anything by it. He made me look like a martyr. He made himself look like a cartoon character of a fascist. So it was a bad move. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he is a bad person. And I think the way I would try to sum it up is this something that I think maybe some of your listeners might find this a little bit surprising what I'm about to say. One of the great ironies of history is that the Soviet Union and communism, in a way, protected Eastern and parts of Central Europe from the ravages of liberalism. And so, in a way, Eastern Europe and Russia are somehow better off. They don't have the multiculturalism. Multiculturalism for them and mass immigration of non-Europeans is something new. It's something they're dealing with now. They don't have, they would look at, social justice warriors or some of the craziness of liberals that we take for granted in Western Europe and America as something foreign and strange. It's not who they are. They were in a way protected from this ravaging ideology of liberalism by the Soviet Union. It is one of the great ironies of history. So I think people like Viktor Orban and Vladimir Putin are, in a way, normal leaders. I don't think they're on our side. I don't think they're, an identitarian, as I like to call myself, or a nationalist, or a race realist, or whatever term you would like to use. I don't think they are one of us. I think they're just simply normal people with normal concerns about their country. And I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, what Viktor Orban, only in the context of these horrifying figures like Angela Merkel, who's taking selfies with
Mike. Yes.
Only in the context of some psychopath is Viktor Orban's words and actions bold. The fact is he's a normal leader. He's an ethno-nationalist. He puts Hungary first. I don't think he has our big concerns. Maybe he does. He has actually said things like, will Europe be for the Europeans? He said some interesting things that maybe should give us hope. But I don't think he is one of us. But he's just a normal leader looking out for Hungary's interests. And
Well, I was just going to say, everything that I've read from him with regards to this situation, I've been either in moderate or enthusiastic support of, which made it, to me, a little bit surprising that he, of all people, would be the one to put you in the clink and expel you from Hungary. But as you said, I mean, people can make a bad decision and still be, I guess, worthy of support if they can redeem themselves. And certainly there is redemption to be had after that stunt. But I want to quickly interject this as well, Richard. I want to be sure to get out the website, radixjournal.com. Radixjournal.com, folks, is one of my daily reads. And Richard spoke of this just a moment ago, but he has another article, a little short blurb that he's posted there that really falls in line with what he was mentioning, and it's entitled Gaddafi's Revenge. It's well worth a read, and when you're there, support his work in addition to that. But Richard, the whole thing with your experience in Hungary, that was, and we had you on the show immediately upon your return to the United States when you got back home safe and sound. How long ago was that now?
Well, it was around a year ago. It took place.
I was thinking it was about the 1 year anniversary.
Yes, yes. You know, it's funny. If any of your listeners are interested, they could go to your website. I actually recorded a conversation about the whole Hungarian experience with Jack Donovan, which I thought was actually lost, but I was able to recover it, and it's on my podcast. So I go into, I talk for almost 2 hours about the whole thing. So you can hear all the amusing details of life in the clinker.
Well, it was an amazing story. And, of course, yes, that's at radixjournal.com. I saw that this week as well.
Right.
But and I guess it was whenever it was a year ago. Just browse through our archives, if you would, and, you know, look for the Richard Spencer entries. But it was just I mean, it's a mind-boggling thing to listen to that. But nevertheless, I digress. Back to the topic at hand. Of all the people in Europe, is there anyone being tougher or more demonstrative on this issue than Orban at this moment that you can think of, Richard?
Oh, not really. I mean, no one in power, certainly. I mean, and the fact that Russia isn't facing these problems shows that Putin is being just as good or probably better on this issue. I would say, let me just try to sum up what's happening really quickly. I think when we, if we start to focus on things like policy or what this person said or what that person did, I think we're in a way missing the whole point of what's going on. I think this refugee disaster that we're witnessing is almost, it's almost a moral issue as much as it is anything. And that is, you know, I had a conversation with a German friend of mine, Emmanuel Ochsenreiter. We discussed this. That's also a podcast you can go listen to. But in Germany, you can't ask any question about this issue. You can't say, well, is there a limit to the amount of Syrians we can bring into the country? You can't even ask that, and you'll be accused of Nazism. So what this is this moral issue where Germans are engaging in some kind of self-flagellation, or perhaps you could say this is the next stage of denazification. The Europeans are incapable of facing this crisis because they don't feel like it is moral to defend themselves. They don't feel like it is moral to be themselves. And you have to understand that. Once you answer that question, that big issue about is it moral to defend ourselves? Is it moral to be ourselves? Once you answer that, all of these other things will follow. And all of these policy, I mean, look, if we wanted to get rid of all of these people, we could do it in a month. It's not that hard. Like, if they came here, they can leave. We have amazing transportation systems. But the fact is, we have to have the will to do it. We have to have the consciousness to do it. And so that is the most important thing. That's the thing that we should concentrate on.
Well, Richard, I echo what you say, and it's ironic, I think, and I mentioned this before you came on. You talked about the denazification. If you even question how many we can accept or how many Germany can accept as a German, you question that you're a Nazi. I said in the previous segment that what Merkel's doing is going to be far more disastrous than anything the Third Reich did. You can rebuild from losing a war. You can't rebuild from demographic replacement. You can't rebuild from having fertility rates below replacement level, and that's what's going on there.
Well put.
And apparently they can't get enough.
Well put. I mean, that is the case. I mean, the fact is, these things are reversible if we have the will. That is all that matters. However, as you say, if Germans don't recover that will, then yes, these things are permanent damage. This isn't like a bad economic policy where it's like, let's tax all grocery stores at 99%. That's a stupid policy. That would cause hunger. That would cause food shortages. Stupid. You can recover in a matter of days, you know, from that. But yes, destroying your nation genetically is something you can conceivably never recover from. So yes, people like Angela Merkel, these supposed right wingers in Europe, Angela Merkel goes around talking about how multiculturalism failed. We need integration. We should understand these people for what they are. They are evil sociopaths, and they are our enemy. The so-called right wing is our enemy. They are not on our side. We should never show them any support. They are trying to destroy nations that mean so much to us. I mean, what is Europe without Germany? Germany's Europe's heart and soul.
Richard, I couldn't agree with you more. We're out of time. I want to thank you for coming on and making those points. RateXjournal.com. Support the work of Richard Spencer. We'll be back in the third hour. Thank you again, my friend.